As always, there are a lot of buzzwords in the business world. Two of the most popular buzzwords now are green and sustainability. You might not think of a chemical company as part of the green movement, but the Lubrizol Corporation is working hard to be green. Lubrizol has been around since 1928 and has 6,900 employees worldwide, but you won't see their names on products on the shelf. Their chemicals and additives are included in those products that you buy at the store. The green movement also ties into sustainability, meeting the needs of the stakeholders in a company, shareholders, employees, customers, community, and so on, both now and in the future. In this podcast, we'll hear some sustainability strategies and learn some terms that were new to me.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show.
All right, we're speaking with Dave Cowan, the manager of public affairs of the Lubrizol Corporation. Dave, for those few of our listeners who may not know, can you tell us about Lubrizol?
Lubrizol is a specialty chemical company. It's a $4.5 billion chemical company headquartered in Wickliffe, Ohio. We have facilities all over the world in about 20 different countries, and we sell products in 100 different countries. We make everything, ingredients and additives for paints and coatings, for oils, for fuels. We also make engineered polymers, as well as ingredients for personal care.
You know, one of the big movements out there, obviously, is the green movement. Everyone's going green and recycling and trying to do things in a more energy-efficient and resource-efficient manner. I've heard a term called greenwashing. How would you describe that?
Greenwashing comes about when you have maybe a product you claim is green, but the process to make it may be what you might call brown. It's where it's a product that maybe has a net detriment to the environment. Maybe a great product, but how you got it and how you produced it may be actually very damaging to the environment. So that's how you can get caught in that and be accused of greenwashing.
And in this day and age, with all the disclosures and public inquiries, it's probably the worst thing a corporation can do is to pretend they're green and get caught brown.
Yes, that can be very damaging to a corporation's reputation. And above all, you need to keep your reputation clean. If you're going to say it's a green product, then you need to have good science that demonstrates that it is a green product.
You know, another term that we hear a lot lately is business sustainability or sustainability in general. And that's a very broad term, and it means probably different things to different people. But how would you describe it?
It's how you meet your customers' needs for now and for the future, and also keeping it such that you can meet their needs for the future. It also stems back into the employee base and how do you keep them in a sustainable mode as employees.
You know, when you talk about employees, some people just talk about maybe they get into the personal health of someone, but there's other components of an employee's whole well-being, isn't there?
Yes, I mean, just, you know, we just recently installed a fitness center in our Wickliffe campus, and, you know, physical health is important, but also so is the mental, the emotional and spiritual health of employees, and to the degree you can help them in those areas, it makes them much more balanced and producing workforce.
You know, this sustainability and the balanced workforce and all are fantastic goals, but there has to be some economic sustainability so that the company stays in business still, right?
Right, that is true. One of the cardinal rules of sustainable development is that it must be economically sustainable. You can't, it's not a, where some people refer to it as a suicide pact, where you're going to actually end up destroying your company by maintaining these high sustainable development principles. It has to be a balance.
And some of the practices may be counterintuitive to typical business planning. Maybe you have to take a hit up front from time to time to save some cost or energy down the line. Do you have any examples you could along those lines?
Well, the one thing that some companies have looked at is just an example when you design a new system in a production plant, they would always use small diameter pipes. and very large pumps. And in today's world, with the high-end cost of energy, it actually is more advantageous to use a larger diameter pipe, which costs more, but you can use a smaller pump, which is much more energy, consumes much less energy. And so over the long run of the life of a project, yes, you paid more money up front, but over the life of the project, you actually save money.
You know, we used to have, business was and still is in many instances cutthroat, and it was a win-lose proposition. It seems like times are evolving that way, kind of away from some of that, isn't it?
I think in general, even when you talk about regulators, your relationship with all stakeholders, you need to look at as these win-win kinds of solutions. To the degree you can work with your customer and have an alliance with them and have loyalty and a relationship. We're also with your suppliers so that you can maintain that supply of materials you need. It's definitely not the kind of environment it was. It's much more cooperative and engaging, and dialogue is happens a lot more so that people understand what's needed and what can be delivered.
You know, and you really have to know who all you're impacting. Obviously, you impact your shareholders and your employees, but the actions of your corporation can directly impact demographics that you're maybe not even aware of.
Yeah, you do have to look for where you could impact different entities. For example, our plants have several of them in the world have community advisory panels just to look at, get the neighbors to tell us, or other government officials locally to sit down around the table and have a dialogue with them about the performance of the plant, what it's doing, what it's up to, what their thoughts are, what their concerns are, and come up with a plan for moving forward to alleviate concerns.
And finally, you use a great term for that group that you impact the most directly. Can you tell us that?
The epicenter stakeholder. I'm not really right across this term, but I thought about an earthquake, and the epicenter is who feels the most impact from an earthquake. And so I use that to describe those stakeholders that you most directly benefit or impact. And you need to know who those are, because that's really what your mission is about as an organization, your epicenter stakeholders, and how are you serving them, and how can you serve them long term.
All right, listeners, we've not only learned some good business practices today, we've learned several new terms. We've been speaking with Dave Cowan, the manager of public affairs for the Lubrizol Corporation. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.